In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us quieten our voices and let our minds and thoughts turn in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you who have called us again into the hearing of your word, we ask that you would come to be with us. You would work in our hearts. You would open the doors of our heart to receive that which you have intended for us to hear. Dear Father, we ask that you would give words unto your servant so that your children could be strengthened and encouraged in this endeavor of faith. We thank you, dear Father, for all the blessings of our lives, our homes and our families, this grace kingdom where we can dwell and hear the proclamation of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We pray in behalf of those of your children that are experiencing sorrow and grief of life and trials. We ask that you would give unto them this knowledge in their hearts that you know all that they are facing, and that you have promised to be with them. Help them, dear Father, to believe thy holy word. We pray on behalf of those that are this day under the darkness of sin and are wandering and looking for a place where they could be forgiven. Allow the light of your kingdom to shine here upon this earth so that even in the darkest places they could see that there is a place of light and hope. Lead them into the hearing of your word, dear Father. Our prayers are so weak, but our heart's desire is that we would believe in your redemption work of your only Son. And so we say these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we read our text for this Sunday, there will be a wedding in a couple weeks here in this church building. And so, in the behalf of these believing young that will come before the congregation and ask our Heavenly Father to unite them in marriage, in their behalf we say this prayer. The following will be joined in marriage: Holly Josephson and Luke Oya on August 17th 2013 at the Coquedo Lestadian Lutheran Church. In their behalf, we pray. God, Thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home. Amen. In Jesus' name, we will read from the prophet Jeremiah from the 18th chapter. We will read the first 10 verses of the 18th chapter. And the words are in Jesus' name as follow. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Amen. Before we go into the study of this text, last Sunday evening I forgot to bring the greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God that were gathered there during summer services in Spokane. Many people requested their greetings would be brought here. And then also the week after we came from the West, I had to serve in the Monticello congregation, and their greetings were also asked to be brought here. So this morning, I deliver the greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God in those places. The scripture portion which we have read is one of the texts that is noted for the Sunday. And the theme that's also noted on the calendar for this Sunday is the times of visitation. God's Word speaks to us of times of visitation in many places in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. God's chosen nation of Israel had been visited many times throughout the Old Testament. They had become stiff-necked, rebellious, many times. And so God sent many prophets to that nation to remind them of how their life's endeavor should be. And many of these prophets were not admired at all by the people, because the word that they spake oftentimes reminded them of their sin, of the errors of their journey. And because of the nature of sin and how it works in man, it does not like to be reminded. Our natures do not like to be reminded of those errors of our endeavor. Many people, even of our time, would like to say that they believe in God, that they believe in God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But in what type of a way is acceptable to God? Is it enough to just say from the lips that I believe in God, that I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ? What does it mean to believe? Is believing just saying, or is believing actually doing? This portion of God's Word which we have to study this morning is from, as we mentioned, from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young man when God called him into the work of the vineyard. During Jeremiah's time, it was not the situation in that chosen nation of Israel and Judah was not well. God had called Jeremiah, and maybe we should read how it happened. Jeremiah was not a well-liked prophet by the unbelievers. Jeremiah had to suffered many things that we would have to say we would not like to experience ourselves. He was cast in prison for the message that God had given him to say. At the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So this message that Jeremiah was given by our Heavenly Father to say was a sermon of repentance, we could say. The sermons that we hear from this place, not specifically from only this place, but in more specific terms from God's kingdom, is a sermon of repentance. But it's much more than just repentance. It's also a sermon of God's grace unto sin-fallen man. God wants man, because He loves man so much. The truth of His Word is yet spoken in this world. Because if it's not the truth, it's not God's Word. And so God, through the truth of His Word, calls man unto repentance. But He calls man into the hearing of His Word, so that man could find that they are a sinner. And then God does not leave them there in that place of sin, but He proclaims unto them this word of grace, that you can believe, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. That's how simple the matters of the kingdom of God are. This beginning of Jeremiah continues, and then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God had made a Jeremiah for this purpose, that he would be given this duty to preach God's word. A difficult duty it was, we'll have to say, for the prophet Jeremiah. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, as God had come to him and spoken to him of this reason for his created being. Jeremiah then said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And then he goes on to give him this encouragement. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Dear brothers and sisters, it's kind of hard for us, at least it is for me, to put myself in the prophet Jeremiah's situation here. But as God had told Jeremiah the things that he would have to do, he says that, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. And then this is what he said that he is to do. He's to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. And then he goes and to build and to plant. Notice the first order here that he's given. He says to root out, to pull down, and to destroy. What is it that he's referring to here? I would say that he's referring to the work of Satan. That work that so easily comes to man. In order for a man to enter into the kingdom of God, they must come through the doors naked. Remove all the obstacles that Satan has placed before them. Maybe the robes of self-righteousness are so thick they can't make it through the door. Man must remove all them to build and to plant. The portion of our text that speaks about this, Jeremiah was told to go down into the potter's house. Maybe some of you young boys and girls here this morning don't know what a potter is. Or a potter's house. It says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. So the word that was given to Jeremiah is that God had told him, go down to the potter's house. Apparently Jeremiah must have known where the potter lived, and God had told him, go down there to the potter's house and I'm going to speak to you there. You boys and girls, as I mentioned, you might not know, maybe some of you know, what a potter, what they do for work. They would make pottery. They have that clay. Maybe some of you at school have made. I know some of my kids have brought things home from school, and they're made of clay. And so the potter would be somebody that makes vessels of clay. So you boys and girls, maybe when you make those things at school, you could tell your teacher, "Well, now I'm a potter." So Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house. This potter made those vessels of clay from his home. And he was obedient. Notice that these servants of God, even though we read from the beginning of Jeremiah how he was called into the work of the kingdom of God, and he had those very similar thoughts as you and I. Which of us have not sometimes from that tongue have not issued those words that we wish we could have kept into our mouth, that we've begun to complain that why is it I or but dear brothers and sisters, dear children of God, would you rather have it be that God chose somebody else to do His work, or is it good that He's called you? It's good for me, I know, even though I've issued those audible things out of my mouth sometimes. I'm thankful that God has called me to be a member of this kingdom. So we can see here that the prophet Jeremiah was obedient to the word of God. You, dear brothers and sisters, this obedience is also important for us. Our endeavor of faith is an endeavor of obedience to God's word. And we know that we are not so successful at always being obedient, but let us not use this for an excuse to have this type of a thought that, well, I'm made this way, so I'm just this way. So I'll kind of try to be obedient, but not so hard. let us try to be obedient, because when we're disobedient, what type of experience has that been? Is that disobedience, has it allowed you to be free? Or has it brought sin and sorrow to the heart? I know for myself, when I've listened to the serpent's sermon and he's tempted me and I've fallen, it certainly hasn't been a very blessed way to travel, with sin weighing upon the heart and conscience. And so we can see here that Jeremiah was obedient to the word of God, and he went down there to the potter's house. And behold, the potter, he wrought the work on the wheels. So in this potter's house, he had a wheel that spun around, and oftentimes there was a wheel at the top, it was a bigger wheel, and then there was a wheel at the bottom that they would sit at on a chair, and then they would turn the wheel with their foot. And so it would spin around, and they would put their clay on that wheel. And as that wheel spun around there, then they would begin to shape that vessel which they were to make. Some of the clay vessels that the kids bring from school, you can tell that they kind of shaped them by hand. They didn't have something to turn. So they just tried to make it even all the way around. And sometimes it's a little bit lumpy around the edges, and it's not real polished and clean. But when it's made on a wheel, they can spin the wheel, and as the clay turns, and they can just hold their hand there, and it spins around, and they can make a pretty even vessel. And so Jeremiah was watching this potter at the wheel. And the Bible says here, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So there was something that the potter noticed about this vessel that was wrong. It was marred. It wasn't perfect. And so it says, the Bible says, and so it seemed good to the potter to make it. And so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So as the potter was making this vessel, it was marred. There was a defect in it. And the potter noticed this, so he took the clay off the wheel. And he put it back with the other clay. We notice here that this vessel was made of clay. As I'm sitting here this morning, I'm thinking to a wedding that we was here in this building not too long ago. But there were some flowers that were in this clay vase. And we were here on Friday evening, and I was looking at the vessel that was holding these flowers, and there was water in it. And it looked like at a certain level of that vessel, the color was different. The water had begun to seep out of this vessel. And so we had to take the water out, and I can't remember what we did with those, if we got different ones or what it was, but we can see here that this vessel, the water begins to seep out. That's the nature of clay. Sometimes the water would start to seep through. And so we would have to add more water if you're going to keep that vessel. And so we can see here, we could even compare it to this type of thing that our vessels, our bodies, are vessels of clay. And we, as the children of God, we feel so often that our vessels are leaky vessels. That which we hear in the kingdom of God, that the message of the kingdom of God, it fills our vessel. And we're strengthened and refreshed. But it seems like sometimes just a short period of time, that which we have received is gone, leaked out. And so we need to come continually into the hearing of God's Word, so that God can fill that vessel again with His Word and His grace. And if we do not come to the hearing of God's Word, then that vessel dries up. And there's nothing in it. Empty. We remember from the Old Testament there was that vessel that the widow had. Just a little bit of oil in that vessel. And she was able to fill from that little bit of oil, fill all the vessels in her house. And so it is in God's kingdom. We might feel that we only have just a little bit, but that little bit is a great amount when it's in the hand of our Heavenly Father. When it's His Spirit, His work, it can fill many vessels. And so we'll have to say we've come many times to this church facility and we've been filled with that little bit that weak servant that has been called to serve has come. And He's offered unto you the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. And it wasn't His to offer, but it was our rich Heavenly Father's. Because if it was man's, it wouldn't help us. It only helps our endeavor of faith when it's our rich Heavenly Father's. And so this potter that we are speaking of made this vessel, and it was marred. And so he took that clay and he put it back into the other clay. Maybe he mixed it back together and he took it out again and he put it on that wheel and he began to spin it again. As we speak this morning of the times of visitation, we can think of it in this way. That God has created all people upon this earth. You and I, our neighbors, all people our Heavenly Father has created. And sin has marred the vessel. But God, our rich Heavenly Father, He's called many into the hearing of His Word. As we think this morning of the times of visitation, there's many believers in those areas of the world that it's amazing how God has called the vessels from those places, that clay. He's taken that clay from those vessels and He's added it back and He's put it back on the wheel and He's made a new vessel out of that clay. A vessel that's pure in the sight of God, with no blemishes. How is it possible, when we look in our own hearts, that we can say that there's no blemish? There's only one way, and that is by faith. When you have this gift of faith in your heart, when God looks at that vessel, He doesn't see all the blemishes. But He sees that pure robe, that pure faith of His Son, Jesus Christ. That robe that is covering all the things that we see as blemishes. They're all washed away and that vessel is clean. And it's pure. And so it is this morning, if there's one here this morning, if there's one listening this morning, that feels that their vessel is marred before our Heavenly Father, and you have been looking for that potter that can reshape your life, you have found it. Here in the kingdom of God. God can take that lump of clay and put it back on the wheel and create a perfect vessel that is pleasing unto Him. It comes to mind as I sit here this morning, one of the people of the New Testament time that came to Jesus. Certainly, he must have realized there was some blemish in his vessel. He came to Jesus that night one time to ask him about matters of the kingdom of God. His name was Nicodemus. We remember that Jesus told him that thou must be born again. And from the thoughts of man, he didn't make sense. How is it possible that a man could be born again? And we can even think that how is it possible that God can make from such a vessel as faulty as a man might seem to be? An old vessel even. Maybe a vessel that has been on this earth for many generations and many years. How can God take that and make it again? As God's Word says, there's so many things that we can't understand, but because we can't understand it, it's still possible to our rich Heavenly Father. He can take a vessel that is quite aged and make it again into a pure vessel that holds His Holy Spirit. And so Nicodemus didn't understand that how he could be born again, or how he could be made a new vessel. That would he have to go into his mother's womb and be born again in that way? But we know that that's not a possibility for us. But with God it's possible. Even that a man could be born again in such a way as that. But we know that that wasn't what Jesus was referring to. He was referring to being born again by the mother, the kingdom of God. Coming into this kingdom and being born again with no sin. It's possible to be born again through this simple proclamation of the kingdom of God. Through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So this morning, if there is one that is listening, and you feel that God is calling you, He has shown you the direction that you're headed, and it's not towards heaven. You are being called by our Heavenly Father, that potter that can create again. He's calling you into this kingdom with these words. You can believe, all of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand. So Jeremiah's sermon to the people of his day was also that sermon of repentance. That God can do as He wishes. It is God that calls. It is God that shapes. It is God that creates. Man's ways are not God's ways. Man wants to earn his way to heaven through some good work or some good deed. That they think that in doing such a way that God would be pleased with them. But God has created a way for us And it's a perfect way. It's a perfect way. And it's a simple way. There's no work involved in that way. Or no work of salvation that we must do. But we're called into the kingdom of God through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And then God takes your lump of clay and fashions it as He wills into a new vessel that is pleasing unto Him. And then you are able to do the work of God because of the grace and mercy of God. Not for salvation, but because God has been so gracious unto us. Because God has forgiven us all of our sins. Then we desire to do that work which He has asked us. We remember at the beginning of this book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah had those similar thoughts as you and I. That he cannot do that work. But he relented because he was a believer of God. That was his only hope and trust of salvation, was to believe God. There's no hope in any other way. There's no hope in your own work, in your own merits. There's only hope in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in that. Believing that your sins are forgiven. Our text continues, "And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought I would do unto them." We know that at the end, there's only two possibilities for man. There's either the blessed place of heaven, that place which we have recently escorted a dear friend. We, as the children of God, escorted him all the way to that place where time ends and eternity begins. We could only take him that far. And then from that place, then the angels came and took him from there to heaven. So we either escort him to that place of where time ends and eternity and heaven begins, or a man endeavors upon this earth to the place where time ends and eternity and condemnation begins. Remember from that parable about the rich man and Lazarus that there was, when the rich man died, the Bible says he was buried. But when Lazarus died, the Bible says that the angels came to take him from that place to eternity. The rich man simply died and was buried. But in that place of burial, he could see afar off. Then he could see that which he couldn't comprehend as he traveled upon this earth. That which was too difficult for him to believe. That what Lazarus believed. That if he could endeavor in the kingdom of God until the last day, the angels would then come to take him from where time ends and eternity begins. Dear brothers and sisters, let us remain believing in that simple way of faith. That same way where Lazarus, the beggar, endeavored in. We could say that Lazarus had to beg many times unto God. I'm sure that his endeavor of faith was not easy. The Bible says that his body was covered in sores.
There's not many here this morning that will say that our bodies are covered in those temporal sores like Lazarus. We can imagine how Lazarus must have had to say many prayers to God, begging of our rich Heavenly Father that He wouldn't allow His anger or bitterness over His trials to overtake His faith. So it is with us. We need to beg so often. Because sometimes it seems our trials are so hard to bear. Our questions are many. Then why is it so that it seems to be so difficult? But where can we turn, dear brothers and sisters, when things are so difficult? Let us turn to our Heavenly Father. Let us beg for His grace and His mercy. Let us beg for understanding. But above all, let us beg that we could be forgiven again. So this morning, dear brothers and sisters, I want to offer unto you this message which you have heard so many times before. Even as we think of the theme for this Sunday, the times of visitation. Many times, even in a natural sense, when we visit one another, sometimes it seems that we just want to visit for much longer than we can. But so it is that when we have been placed into this kingdom, God visits us every day through His Spirit. And He is visiting us here this morning also. The Lord Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in His name, He has promised to be with us. And so this morning, dear brothers and sisters, I offer you this greatest of all messages. This message that I would like you to accept from our Lord Jesus and from God and not from man. I offer you the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. You can believe, all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And may you continue to come here. May you continue to be in the visitation of God's kingdom. Jesus says in the book of Revelations, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him. So this morning as we come to the Lord's Holy Supper, we can come even as weak travelers of this kingdom, but come believing your sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, you can believe this morning, all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And if there happens to be those name sins that are weighing upon the heart and conscience, you can turn to a member of this kingdom and speak of those matters. Be reassured of this, that even those matters are forgiven. It comes to mind as I sit here in closing, a conversation I had with a dear brother. He was wondering and questioning whether or not the matter that we consider to be confession is a necessary matter. And we visited for some time about the matter, and I said that, well, whether it's necessary or not, I guess I can't answer that question for you. But for me, it's been such a strengthening thing to my life of faith. And he said, well, isn't it just enough to just believe that our sins are forgiven? And I said, it's enough. But then I was also given this thing to say, that how is it that one turns their back unto God? What happens? How does one fall away from the kingdom of God? He could only say, I suppose it's because of unforgiven sin. Dear brothers and sisters, let us not let those unforgiven matters turn us away from God. But let us put unforgiven sins away in the name and blood of God's dear Son. Let us not let those matters dwell upon our heart and conscience and lead us away from sin. Even as we sing in that one song, that the wounds of conscience left untended always lead into the world. Be encouraged this morning, dear brothers and sisters, when you come to the Lord's Holy Supper. Come believing your sins are forgiven. Come to be strengthened in faith. Believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And I also came to this service with those familiar doubts. But I ask as I leave, will you forgive me for all of my sins and doubts? In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.